Referring to himself, Paul wrote that he must fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Does this mean that Christ didn't suffer enough? Does it mean that the cross is not sufficient for our salvation? Well, stay with us as we deal with these questions and many more.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with
you. This is the question and answer program with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who for over 30 years answered the questions of his many listeners. This is a ministry of the Through the Bible Radio Network. Our first question comes to us from a listener in Santa Ana, California, who writes, could you please explain the verse that says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated?
Now that, of course, is the scripture that's found in the first chapter of Malachi, and there are several things that need to be said about that. First is this, that the word that he has underlined, Esau have I hated, how would you interpret that? I think that the closest that we can come to an explanation of that is this, that you do not find that statement until you get to the last book in the Old Testament. God didn't say it when they were here on this earth. God didn't say it at that particular time that they were born. God said it at the very end, and he said it at the end that you might be able to look back over a period of over a millennium. In fact, over 1,500 years, and during that time Esau had become a nation, and the sins of his life had worked themselves out in the nation, and also Jacob had become a nation, and the sins there, but also God's dealings with him. Now, it's after that that you begin to see why God would hate Esau. And may I say, when you look at the Edomites and that sort of thing, candidly, you can understand why. And the reason is because God hates sin, and he makes no apology for that. Now, I believe that is about the best explanation we can offer for that passage of Scripture.
The same listener has a second question. He says, why is it that history does not record the facts of the life of Jesus Christ? Josephus makes mention of him, but very brief. Why is this?
Well, we have also mentioned by a Roman historian, Suetonius, concerning him. I think that there are several reasons for that. To begin with, there was no great historian who wrote in that day, who passed through that country, who had any first-hand information, and whose writings have been preserved. Actually, there are In fact, the matter is, there are many facts that we accept today in history that have practically no support except that of hearsay and gossip as far as history is concerned. So much so that a great many so-called assured and established facts of history have to be changed. For years it was thought that the city of Troy was a fabled city, that it had no existence, that is, the Troy of Homer. Well, they found out today in excavating the ancient ruins of Troy, they've gone down, I think there are in all 15 cities that have been there. Well, one of these is the city of Homer's Troy. And it's there, and these events that Homer records actually are historical events with a great deal of fable woven into them. So that here was something that was rejected because there was not any historical record made. You'd think of such an important event as the destruction of Troy that you'd have something in the way of history, and yet nothing recorded. Now that's true of many, and it's not a strange thing. And after all, what do you have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John but a historical record? Those were records brought together. and put in and included in the Word of God. And just think of the statements of church fathers that in the first century that did not see Jesus, but they knew the apostles, were instructed by the apostles, and many of these have written of him. Of course, that is as close as you get to many historical facts today. So when you begin to investigate, there's a great deal more that's been recorded than we realized.
Our next question comes to us from Los Angeles. The listener writes, could you please name all the judges in the Old Testament?
Well, may I say to you that, and here it gives me a chance to put in quite a plug, I have a book. And the title of that book is Briefing the Bible. And you will find that in the section on Judges, and I have a section in there on every book of the Bible, you will find that we list the judges. That's the kind of question I feel like I'm doing your study for you. If I name them to you, well, why don't you just turn to the book of Judges and just take them up? Now, I realize that there is some question about several of the judges. But if I may do this then, the first one is Othniel. We begin with him. And then Ehud. And then Deborah, or rather Shamgar is next. And then Deborah is next. And then you find Gideon coming in next. And you find the events that took place after Gideon's death when even his own son, and some people would like to list him. I personally do not. Then you have Tola and Jair and Jephthah and Ibzan and Elon and Abdon and Samson, Samson being the last of the judges. All right, now I've named them, and that's what you asked for. But I'm afraid I did your study for you.
The book Dr. McGee mentioned, Briefing the Bible, is no longer available. However, the notes and outlines on the book of Judges are available upon request or for free download at ttb.org. Now, here's a question from Medford, Massachusetts, which reads, Colossians 1, verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Could you please explain this verse, particularly the portion, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ?
Now, it would seem from that question that Christ did not suffer enough, or that he did not entirely pay for our sins on the cross, and it's necessary for a Christian to suffer in order to be saved. Well, that, of course, is not the thought here at all. What we have here is the work of Christ presented to us. And let me read again. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, I want to give you a rather free translation of that. It's not really a translation at all, but more or less of an interpretation. And here goes. Now I, Paul, rejoice in the midst of my sufferings for you, and I'm filling up in my flesh that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, first of all, we ought to understand completely and fully that when Christ died on the cross and he said it's finished, there was nothing more to be done for your salvation and mine except for you and me to accept it. It was now a free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, a free gift is not something you work for, or something that you pay for, or something you do something for. It's something that you do nothing in order to get it, or it wouldn't be a free gift at all. And therefore, we need to be very clear, especially in this epistle. This is the epistle of the fullness of Christ.
And in verse 9 of chapter 2, why we read here, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Everything is centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. He is our salvation. But there is something that we need to note, and it's so important to note. And I'm going to spend a little time with it because there's so much confusion in this connection today. And you remember when Paul was converted, God sent Ananias to him. And this is what the Lord told Ananias. "But the Lord said unto him," that is Ananias, "Go thy way, for he," that is Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now that's a strange thing, is it not? The Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to show him how great things he's going to suffer." And I want to tell you that Paul suffered a great deal. But let's understand one thing. Paul's sufferings were not redemptive in any way. They were what are called ministerial sufferings. And they have nothing to do with salvation. And therefore, that leads me to say this, that'll be helpful for you to understand. The sufferings of Christ can be divided into two sections. The sufferings, for instance, of Christ, which he endured and in which we cannot share at all. Then there are certain sufferings of Christ in which you and I can share. And that's important to see. Now, let's look at first the sufferings that cannot be shared. Now, he endured human sufferings. He endured what human beings endure. And you ever thought that you can't share another human being's sufferings? You can sympathize with them. You can have compassion on them. You give them a blood transfusion, but you cannot enter into their sufferings. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Every man shall bear his own burden." There is a burden that you and I have to bear in this life, and nobody else can bear it for us. I had this impressed upon my mind many years ago when my daughter was just a baby. She just walking. And we had been back to Texas to see her grandmother and her grandfather. And we were coming home, and it was hot. We, in those days, were young. We didn't pay attention to the fact it was August. And we were coming through Arizona. Now, there's no place that can get as hot as Arizona in this world. I tell you, it was hot. And my wife, we were driving along, coming into Globe, Arizona, and she said to me, she says, "Linda's burning up with fever." So we drove into Globe and went to the hospital immediately. And the doctor said, "You go and get in a motel and get air conditioning. And when it is dark and the sun goes down, it gets a little cooler, then you drive home. The fever will break." And he gave her some medicine. And so at dark, we started out and got down to Phoenix. And I told my wife to check the fever again because I had to get some gasoline. And so while I was getting gas, she took the temperature. And she said to me, "The fever is still 104. Well, I tell you, we stayed right there in Phoenix. And we tried to get a doctor and couldn't that night. But we got her in a motel where we kept her cool. And next morning, while we took her to the hospital, and the doctor there, he said that she had roseola, whatever that is. And he says, "I think it'll break sometime today or tonight." And he says, "But don't travel." He says, "Go and stay in a motel with air conditioning and leave tonight. So that night we left. And we got out about as far as Wickenburg. And at Wickenburg, my wife said, the fever is broken. And you can't imagine. She was normal again and all of that. But this is the point I'm making. When I looked at that little thing lying on the table in the hospital in Phoenix, Arizona, I would have given my life to exchange places with her. I would have gladly have taken that fever. But you see, I couldn't do it. Every human being's going to have to bear his own burden. And so you can't share that burden that Christ had. And then we have another, the second suffering which we cannot share. He suffered as the Son of God. And he was God manifest in the flesh. So his suffering is a suffering that I can't enter into. Oh, how they beat him. How they put that crown of thorns on him. I couldn't have gone through that. He was the Son of God. He alone bore that kind of suffering. And then he suffered as the sacrifice for the sin of the world. And friends, nobody can take his place there. He alone died for the sins of the world. And Peter put it in his epistle like this, that's a suffering that you and I cannot bear. He could not share that with anyone else. And Peter put it like this, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He's done it one time. That is all that was necessary for your sins. And then, on the other hand, there are the sufferings of Christ endured, which we can share. And these are the sufferings which Paul referred to here. There is the suffering for righteousness' sake. You remember that he said to his enemies, you seek me, a man that hath told you the truth. If you live today for Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something today, friend. Talk about suffering. You're going to have to suffer. And then another suffering, and that's the main one that Paul is talking about here, the suffering in the measure in which we identify ourselves with Christ for the purpose of the gospel. And John wrote, he says, because as he is, so are we in the world. And today, it's going to cost something to get the gospel out. Well, I could tell you story after story of our Through the Bible program of where the missionaries, they're the ones out there. I'm not. I'm here at home. But they're out there, and I want to tell you some of them have paid a tremendous price in order to get the Word of God out. And therefore, it has cost something. It's cost them something. They've suffered. And the thing that he talks about here is there is the suffering in the measure as we identify ourselves with Christ for the purpose of the gospel. John wrote, because as he is, so are we in the world. The Lord Jesus made it very clear. If the world hate you, we know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If you are true to Jesus Christ today, it'll cost you something. We forget to mention that today. We forget to talk about that today. Dr. George Gill used to put it this way. When a child is born into the world, some woman has to travail in order for that child to be born in the world. And listen, if there's going to be some born again into this world, somebody's going to have to travail. And I don't see many travailing today. As I said, I'm a little bored with these that are so committed to Christ. They've made him Lord. Well, what are you doing? Are you suffering for Jesus' sake today? Is it costing you anything? I look about me and I don't see all these that are talking about lordship paying any kind of a price at all. Some of them are drawing a very good salary, by the way. May I say to you how tragic it is today to see a world out yonder that doesn't know and hasn't heard. And you know the reason? Somebody needs to suffer. Oh, think of the man that went to Africa. Think of the man and the suffering. And when he died, they took out his heart, and they just did, and buried it in Africa because they said his heart belonged in Africa. And then they sent his body back. And if you go to Westminster Abbey, you can see where he's buried there. May I say to you, he suffered for Jesus' sake. How about you? How about me? Has it cost you anything? I was down with a friend of mine, former mayor of Santa Ana, Lorne Grissette, and we were down in Mexico, and we went up in the jungle where the Musco tribe is. The only way you can get in there is to fly in there. It takes you 15 days to hike in there. And I thought, man, I'd have a plane breakdown. Now I'd be stuck up there for 15 days, up there among those natives. And I thought of the man that was a missionary. And I saw how he lived, and these natives all around him. And he just won a few to Christ, not many. He said he hadn't had a great revival. He hasn't seen the throngs come forward as they do in the Billy Graham meeting. But he suffered for Jesus' sake. It cost him something. It cost him something. And the world doesn't know anything about it, but Jesus knows about it. I tell you, friends, that today the Word of God is going to get out. Somebody's going to have to pay a price. Somebody's going to have to travail. I emphasize this again and again because it's so important today with this easy believism that we have, this easy lordship. Oh, it's so easy to say, Jesus is my Lord. My friends, what are you doing for him? Is it costing you anything? I told Lorne Grissette when he and I walked up and down the runway waiting for that plane to come back to pick us up there in that lonely jungle. And I tell you, it worried me a little. Have to spend my night there. And I said to him, I know why God didn't call me to go as a missionary. I know. He said, well, why? I said, I don't have the guts. Takes a lot of guts to come down here and be a missionary like this man's been. Costs something. Oh, this easy Christianity that we have today. It's so nice. We have such a lovely service on Sunday. In fact, we have two or three services, and it's all fun, great fun. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody is suffering. It's just a delightful time, isn't it? And it's like belonging to a club. It's no different than just belonging to a club. Oh, today, friends. How important. This is one of the most important questions I've ever had asked me. And the reason is, and there are many of you listening to this right now that maybe you've already tuned me out because you don't like this. This hurts, doesn't it? It gets right down where we live today.
As Dr. McGee mentioned, there are many who are suffering for Jesus in their efforts to get out the Word of God. Many of our producers live in dangerous circumstances, but they faithfully work to get the Word of God to their people. We would ask that you would maybe take some of your time today and pray for them. It's through your prayers and your faithful giving that they're able to continue with their work. To help you remember each of our producers in prayer, we have an international prayer guide that we'd like to send to you. Simply give us a call anytime, leaving your request along with your name, address, and the call letters of this station. Did you find one of Dr. McGee's responses particularly helpful? If so, we make these programs available for purchase on individual CDs. By the way, a CD is really a great way to pass along good Bible teaching to your friends, coworkers, and neighbors. Now, we'd like to remind you to join us this week on the Through the Bible radio program heard every Monday through Friday on this station, where we continue Dr. McGee's five-year journey through the whole Word of God, book by book and chapter by chapter. To help you along with these studies, we provide Dr. McGee's notes and outlines, which we'll be happy to send you when you make your request to be on our mailing list. To contact our offices to ask for the prayer guide, request a catalog, or to purchase a CD, call 1-800-65-BIBLE, Monday through Thursday, from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Or write to Questions and Answers in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or find us online at ttb.org. This is Steve Schwetz for the Through the Bible Radio Network with the prayer that God will answer all your questions and solve all your problems.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.